Hello, everybody. Welcome to the pilot episode of Sons of Screens. I am Andrew Fay, alongside the other showrunner, Mr. Matt Whiteside, a.k.a. The Colonel. What's up, buddy?
How's it going?
Well, you know, just excited to finally get this show going, ready to talk some pop culture. Anything that you can see on a screen, we're going to talk about, people.
Yeah, we've been talking about doing this for a while.
Yeah, and this is your brainchild. You came up with this, the show name. This is your idea, and how you feeling? You ready to nerd out? Yeah,
it's gonna be fun. I'm not sure that I should take all the credit. I mean, we spent many weeks talking about how we would do it.
Right. And I mean, we're still really not sure how we're going to do it, but we're just going at it, and we're swinging a miss, swinging a hit. We don't know. We don't care.
We're going to give it a try and see what happens.
Right. And like our intentions of the show, I mean, we don't care if we have 2 viewers, 200 viewers, 2,000 viewers, 2 million viewers. You know, if the numbers get a little too high, we might get a little too nervous. So let's keep it low. But it's just going to be fun. I mean, like, there's really, like, we're the showrunners, but we're not going to be the same faces that you see every week on this show. We're going to have random guests. It could be anybody and everybody. Like, we're not like, oh, well, you don't have the itinerary to be on the show. You can't come on here and talk because you never did anything with your life. No, it's going to be some of our friends.
Let's clarify what you mean by guests. It's not necessarily celebrity guests.
No. Any like celebrity guests, they will come further down the line. Right now, this is a friends hangout that we're inviting you to come in. It's an open party, free of charge. Just got to fucking go to YouTube or listen on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever the fuck you listen to some shit or watch some shit. But yeah, we figured this is the pilot episode. We're just going to kind of introduce ourselves. People that who do not know me, I have a little bit of history on the internet. The internet cannot get rid of me. I've dabbled in the YouTube world.
Try as it might.
Right, exactly. Dabbled in the YouTube world on several, mostly horror. I dabbled a little bit in video game streaming, and then I was on the Outsiders of Horror podcast that was hot there for a little hot minute, and now. Just when you think I'm disappearing, here I am again. And now with a wrong side on directing my head there. Alongside my buddy over here, Colonel Mr. Matt Whiteside, who is a local friend. He's not from another state. We're from the same area, from the great state of Kansas. And yeah, and so there'll be episodes to where there might be times where you'll see me and Colonel in the same place. One hard cam, and you get both of us talking. We could just all of a sudden have a fucking party over at his house, and everybody's on the show. That'd be a fun episode.
That would be great.
Again, there's no strict rules, no strict laws. We're just talking pop culture, whether it's movies, TV, sports, video games, porn, anything you can watch on a screen, whether it's a TV screen, computer screen, your phone, whatever.
Hence the name of the podcast.
Yeah, Sons of Screens. That came out of his country ass head. So, yeah, I dig the name. Do you not remember how you came up with that name?
No, we were just kind of brainstorming names, and I initially thought Sons of Screams.
Right.
And then I was like, wait a minute, we could do screens, not screams.
Mm-hmm. Because we're not strictly horror. We are anything and everything.
Yes.
It's on a screen. We're not going to talk about plays. We're not going to talk about books.
But it's
even though he reads. A screenplay. And then if you like jokes like that, there's plenty more where that came from with this guy. He's the dad joke guy. He's got them all. So I figured we'll introduce our personal pop culture favorites that we love and attach to.
So before we do that, let me introduce myself.
Okay, go for it.
So I am Matt Whiteside, the Colonel.
The Colonel.
I have that nickname since my freshman year in high school.
Please explain. You've got to. If we're introducing Colonel, and we're not going to call you Matt, we're not going to call you Whiteside, we're calling Colonel. Explain the name.
So we had a fundraiser that I had to do what the upperclassmen told me to do.
This was in high school, right?
In my freshman year, I had to wear a wife beater, a sign around my neck that said I'm the Colonel, and a Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket on my head. And ever since that day, I have been known as the Colonel. It's a nickname that has...
No, but I mean, it's a nickname that you didn't give yourself. 25 years ago. Right, it's not anything you gave yourself or anything like that. Is a nickname that got spawned out of somebody loving KFC for some reason. Whoever made you do that routine. Me and Colonel have been friends for
it's been a while.
10, probably, 15 years in between there.
I would say probably around 15 years or so.
Jesus. And we did not like each other when we met each other.
Right. I wasn't sure if you were hitting on me or what was going on, but I found out later that it was just because I knew about Star Wars.
Right, he thought I was gay. I thought he was a redneck piece of shit. And then somehow, some way, Star Wars got brought up, and then we just immediately went into a conversation about Star Wars.
Yeah, because I said something about Star Wars, and you were like, this guy doesn't know anything about Star Wars.
Yeah, I was like, no way. Look how red his neck is. There's no way. Yeah. No way. His neck is way too red to know anything Star Wars. So then I started throwing a little, I'm like, oh, so what about this scene and stuff like that? You're like, well, wait a minute. And I'm like, oh, he does know his shit. No, really connected to it was which favorite one? Empire. And I was like, Empire, yes. Mm-hmm. And then it just went from there. And here we are fucking 10, 15 years later.
Yep.
What a journey. And now he's doing this show with me.
That is correct.
10, 15 years later, I was part of his wedding, and and then it's great. It's fucking been a roller coaster. It's been a roller coaster indeed. And when you're on a roller coaster with somebody, you just learn more about each other and how strong your relationship is. And
yep,
we went from friends to brothers, and now here we are doing an internet show. For all five of you people that are tuning in.
Hey, don't be getting pumping them numbers up yet. We're...
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's too high. It's too high. Well, like general pop culture, like screen wise, for me, I think you can safely call me a cinephile. It's always a weird thing to call that because anything that ends with the word file in it is usually bad. But cinephile is good. This means you're a lover of movies.
C-I-N-E, not S-I-N.
Yeah. And a lot of people, like, outside of our friend group, anybody that tuned in for the outsider stuff like that, it seems like I'm strictly horror. That is not the case. When it comes to movies, it's safe to say that horror is probably not even my favorite genre, but then again, sometimes it is. Like, I was thinking about this the other day, and it just depends on the month, I think. Like, just what's going on is what my favorite genre is. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever I'm feeling at the time. Sometimes I am balls deep into some horror.
At Christmas time, it's Hallmark movies.
You know, this last Christmas, I didn't even watch any like Christmas movies. I was in December. I was balls deep into some kung fu movies. Like, okay. I was watching the old 70s, lips aren't matching, badly dubbed fucking kung fu movies that our boy Joseph Canales got me into. And I was just deep into that shit all Christmas season long. So I didn't have a holiday season. Unless it was kicking people and all that shit. I'd say my favorite genres range, you know, horror, obviously. I'm huge into action. I love me just some straight up popcorn flick action, fucking explosions, no storyline. Let's just blow shit Michael up. Bay. Yeah, Michael Bay. I don't like it when people shit on Michael Bay. I love Michael Bay. I love Michael Bay movies. They're the same fucking thing every time, and I fucking love it.
Yep.
Huge into sci-fi. Love me some sci-fi. Even the bad ones. Like, I love, like, old, like, 50s sci-fi, where you have the UFOs on a string and shit like that. Like, I get into that kind of shit. And then I throw a little zinger, and I love romantic comedies.
Oh, rom-coms.
I love me some rom-coms. Throw some love with some humor in it. It's fucking fantastic. My favorite rom-com of all time is Fever Pitch.
That, Drew Barrymore. I will agree with you on that. That is a great movie.
That is a great movie. That's one of those movies that I can recite from beginning to end because I've watched it so many fucking times. Well, because it's so relatable too, because I've had those relationships to where my love for sports has interfered with it. Mm-hmm. And it throws a wrench into the relationship.
Well, we know it's not being grandfathered into season tickets.
Right. Yeah, not as extreme as it is in the movie, but he only loves baseball. I love all the sports, which we'll get into later. But
so yeah, my genres, so sci-fi would probably be number one. Action, probably number two. Back in high school, I watched quite a few horror movies, but I never really watched the original ones, right. Which, much to the chagrin of many of the Frightmare group.
Right.
But I have recently gotten back into horror, so I've been slowly watching some of the old ones that people just, their mouths drop to the floor when they find out I haven't watched them.
Right. Well, you know, we won't go into details, but you kind of had a sheltered life a little bit growing up. You weren't really allowed to watch the horror movies and stuff like that.
Yeah, I was kind of... It was whenever I was buying my, when I started buying my own movies that I kind of got into horror, and it was.
And you're old enough to where when you're buying movies, you're going off like the covers and stuff.
Right. I mean, I'd read the synopsis. I mean, let's be honest. I was looking to see if there was boobs in it.
Right. Which horror genre is a perfect way to look for those. You're damn near guaranteed to have some boobies in any of those movies. Thinking that there's actually good horror out there, and then and I'm very proud to where I kind of sucked you into that horror world, and now you're a horror fan.
I am, yes.
And you've been getting in there. Yeah, I feel like a proud father with that.
Yeah, I've watched some very movies that I would call very bad, but they were in most of.
Yeah,
them
I'm sorry. I do apologize for those.
Well, so those are the kind of movies that I don't mind watching. I will enjoy my time watching them as long as I'm in the right mood to watch it.
I do love me a bad movie. Just so I can sit there and figure out, like, what was this filmmaker thinking when they were doing like, this?
Probably the worst one that I had a great time with it. Probably Jesus Christ Vampire Slayer. Very low budget. But it was entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Or the infamous Frankenshark, whatever the.
I still haven't got all the way through that.
Dick and Shark that you end up having like seven copies of or whatever.
Yeah, I bought one at Andrew's suggestion. I bought the movie after Frightmare one night, and then I got a VIP ticket last year to Texas Frightmare Weekend, and lo and behold, as we're going through looking at the movies that I got in my swag bag, Andrew's looking at him like, man, these are good. And I look down and I see what's coming up next. It's like, it better not be what I think it is. Sure enough, copy number two of a movie I haven't even been able to get through once.
And it's all the same.
I swear I'm gonna turn that unopened copy into a gag gift that we get like Mm-hmm. It's going to end up at your house someday, and you're not. You're going to be like, "Where did this go, Colonel? Dang it!
I don't need it. I've sat it's through the whole thing
to get it into somebody else's hands."
No, we have that group of gullible friends. We're like, "Hey, you should check this movie out." And hand it out.
We'll call it the Brotherhood of the Traveling Frankenshark.
Yeah. That what it's called? I couldn't even remember what the fucking movie was called.
Yeah.
Frankenshark.
Boy. Well, of course I know the name of it because I've got two copies of it. But the best part is, I think it's either that one or a different movie that I got. But I think it has the Serial Killer collection in it too that I haven't tried to watch either.
Right. And that's the thing with going to these conventions, stuff like that. You'll gather up this gathering of movies that people are trying to sell either their own shit, or you go through a table and go, "This looks interesting." And turns out it takes you a long time to even get to watching them.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do.
I still haven't even got through the list of movies I bought last year at Frightmare.
It didn't take me long to go through my list from Frightmare last year.
Yeah. So what would you consider your top five movies?
Top five movies.
Since we're talking about Frightmare and movies and stuff, what would you consider your top five?
Let's jump into our little rankings here. My top five movies. And this has kind of been set for me because, like, obviously with all the movies out there and you forget about movies and stuff like that, it's easy to change your favorites and stuff like that.
Right. But
these five have been kind of set in for a while. My number five favorite movie of all time is Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
Very nice.
I love that fucking movie. That is the best action movie of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely love it. It is perfect. When it comes to fucking blow shit up, Arnold Schwarzenegger, "Come on, Maria, I'm gonna shoot everything down." You know, it's fucking great. And this three through because the number four on my list is My Girl.
Oh,
that is such a great movie. God, I love the movie. That was one of the VHSs that I wore out back in the VHS days. It was My Girl.
Spoiler alert, damn bees.
Damn bees. He can't see without his glasses. That's always the thing that triggers my fucking tears. You can't see without his glasses. Like, shut up, bitch. I know. God damn it. And then number three, so we got Terminator 2. We got My Girl. My number three favorite movie of all time is a Goofy movie.
Oh, it's only number three?
That's number three.
It used to be one.
It's definitely my favorite Disney movie of all time.
Okay. All right.
Love me a Goofy movie. That's another one I can read. That's another VHS tape that I wore the fuck out and can recite from word to word. I wish Powerline would have a full album because those two songs that the Powerline has in that movie, they're fucking bangers. So, man. They're so good.
So a Goofy movie is number three.
Mm-hmm.
Does an extremely Goofy movie make your list? Or how do you like the sequel to Goofy Movie?
I mean, in future sequel talks, we'll talk extremely Goofy Movie.
Okay.
I think that's an underrated sequel. It was all fun.
Right. It's the Tower of Cheese.
Yeah. And he did get the original cast for an extremely Goofy Movie, including Pauly Shore, who's not even credited in either one of those movies.
No kidding. Man.
Yeah. I can't remember the reason why he didn't want to be credited. Something to do with Disney and then just him being Pauly Shore, but they didn't credit him for it.
Wow.
Interesting thing. My number two favorite movie of all time, which is my favorite horror movie of all time, which is John Carpenter's The Thing. Fucking
okay. Good movie. That is great. Great movie.
So fucking good. Like the whole who is the thing, who is not, who is actually them, the whole suspense build up to the movie, and then even at the very end it's still hotly debated at the end, like, who is human, which one of these two that survive at the end is human, are they both human, are they both thing, or is one of them human, one of them thing? We don't know. John Carpenter don't even know. Like, I guess he gives answers, but it seems like he changes his answer every time he gets asked a question. And then my number one favorite movie of all time is a Matthew Lillard flick called SLC Punk. Okay. It's just, it is a, just a great movie. I learned about Matthew Lillard through Scream. That was my introduction to Matthew Lillard. I mean, I've seen him probably in movies before because I saw Hackers and stuff like that, but he just never like really stood out to me. But then he really stood out to me as Stu in Scream.
Mm-hmm.
And then shortly after Scream came out, like a year or two later, SLC Punk came out and he was the lead, and he performs this dialogue in just about every fucking scene in the movie, and he crushes it. And just the whole story of, you know, punks, because, you know, I used to think I was a punk back in the day. So like that.
You used to think.
Yeah. You know, oh yeah, anarchy, baby, let's go. You know,
I mean, I'm just glad you were thinking. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, you know, I had many phases throughout my middle school, high school days. Middle school, I used to wear FUBU. Yeah. Mm. You know, and then yep. I had my goth and emo and punk phases. You know, I went through all the phases. That's mm-hmm. why I had friends in every single little clique, every little group, because I was one of them at one point. Every single time. But yeah, it's a great movie. And that's another movie that makes me cry every time, just for like, you know, personal reasons. But that, like, something that happens at the end of the movie, and it just always grips me. And it's just, it's an all around great fucking movie. And yeah, it is my number one movie of all time.
Very nice.
Before we get into yours,
okay,
I gotta pee. All right, so those are my top. Do you have top five movies? Because before we start recording, you're talking about how, like, sometimes, you know, like, some of these categories you don't have a top five on all of them.
I kind of cheated a little bit. So okay. I only did a top three because, let's see, let me do my math real quick. My top three include,
because, like, you're
let me,
like,
just do the math real quick.
Well, while you're figuring that out, it sounds like that you're just only sure on, like, your top three, and then, like, the next two are,
it gets, right. Like, so what, once it gets past the top three, it starts, everything kind of melds together.
I mean, so you can give me, like, two movies this week, and the next week it'd probably change if you thought about it more, you know?
Right. So, like, my top three kind of encompass 26 movies.
So they come from franchises, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Now, don't do top franchises now. These got to be movies, because we'll do a franchise conversation later on down the road.
Well, then I did.
Do too many episodes in one fucking episode. Gotta save the categories. Give me specific movies. All right.
Okay. Well, then, dang it.
No, we can't do franchises yet. We'll discuss franchises down the road. You gave me.
All right.
Fine.
Let's see. Well, I'm not going to put them in order then, just because it's very hard to put them in an order at this point.
Okay, don't put them in order. Give me the first movie you think of right now. We'll talk about that, and then we'll go to the next one.
So,
what's one of your favorite movies?
One of my favorite movies, I would say, is going to be Gladiator.
Gladiator. Okay. You've never told me that before, ever.
Well, it's probably one that it'd probably hit the number five spot, just because all the things they did in that movie, just at the time, they didn't, like, with the technology that was there, I feel like they did a great job on that movie.
I hear they're doing either like a prequel or sequel or something to that.
Gladiator 2 comes out later this year. So, like, spoiler alert, when we talk about upcoming movies, not this episode, I don't think, but that will be one of the ones that I'm interested to talk about.
Is that supposed to come out this year?
Yeah, I think it's later this year.
Oh, right on. Yeah, just so you know, this might upset you a little bit. I've seen just bits and pieces of Gladiator. I've never sat and watched Gladiator throughout.
It's a longer movie, but it's a great movie.
I have troubles watching like the old time movies, like medieval or colonial. Yeah, of course I know that line and the line mask and Joaquin Phoenix and all that shit.
So it is pretty. It's good. I like it.
Just like I've never seen Braveheart, because it's based like old.
Braveheart is another great movie. It's a very long. It's a long movie. Like it's.
I don't mind long movies.
I don't mind long movies either, but the problem with a long movie is I've got to dedicate some time to sit down and watch it.
That made me look at my list to see what the longest movie was. Terminator 2 is my longest movie on my top five, which is 2.5 hours long. So that's the long
movies. So for my number four, I'm gonna go with a movie that I remember as a kid. Anytime that I got to rent a movie when I went somewhere with my parents, I was renting Land Before Time.
Oh, nice.
So that I'll put that as my number four.
Yeah, god damn, I haven't seen any Land Before Time movies in a long time since I was a kid. Did you see like all 27 sequels that came after it?
No. So I didn't realize that they had that many. I saw the first sequel, and then I'd seen that they had a second one, or like a trilogy out of it. So that would have been the last one that, like, I don't really remember what happened in the ones after that, and then. I went and bought my sister's kids, my nephews. I bought them a DVD pack that had all the Land Before Times in it. And I was flabbergasted when it had 15 movies in it.
Yeah, there's a lot of Land Before Time movies. You saying that just makes me want. I'm going to just have to binge watch Land Before Time one of these days.
It's one that I always liked.
And see if they were just cash grabs because the first one was so successful, or if they were actually like
they were absolutely cash grabs. The first sequel wasn't terrible. I might be biased, but it wasn't terrible. And it just—I feel like they just kind of went downhill from there. It's like The Sandlot. Yeah. The Sandlot did not need a sequel, but they gave it two.
But when a movie's that successful, you're destined to get. Especially from the 80s up, if your movie's successful, you're
bad. And then they gave it a part three, I believe.
There's a third Sandlot. Yeah. I get it when, you know, these producers, these studios like that, hey, this movie made a buco of bucks. Let's play off of it. Because since that first one made so much money, if they lose on the next one, they're still up because they made so much money on that first one. So might as well give it a shot and hope for success. And apparently Land Before Time kept getting a more and more money. So they just kept going with it. You know, then that was during the era of, you know, the video releases, the video stores and stuff like that. So they were, you know, those video releases, they made a lot of fucking money. People compare their movies to their box office success, but people forget about like video release, like home release videos, VHS, DVDs, stuff like that. A lot of money comes from that too. So SLC Punk, it flopped in the box office, but became a cult classic. So we got Gladiator, Land Before Time. So yeah, yours is a mutt mix so far.
These are turning into top five off the top of my head movies.
That so works.
Like, it's not like, necessarily like we could come back next week and I could have a completely different list.
But these are movies that come into your head, so we at least know that they're in your top 50. Then,
right? Know. Yes, it'd probably even be tough to narrow it down to a top 100, but.
It is, yeah, and that's why I just stay closed-minded with my movies, because I love so many movies, and if I really sit there and think about it, I'll probably fucking punch myself in the face multiple times, because I'm like, no, wait, this movie's great. No, wait, no, and I wouldn't figure it out. So I just kind of stick with what has, like, nostalgia with me and just what has stuck with me, and Land Before Time. What's your next one?
So number three, I would put Remember the Titans.
Nice little sports movie action.
That's a movie that it doesn't matter when it comes on. If I see it on like one of the TV channels, somewhere, I'll just sit and watch.
Right. You got to love those movies to where, like, you run into, and if it's playing, you stop and watch. I have many movies like that. Like, Scream is one to where if it's on, I'm watching the movie The Rundown with The Rock. If that's that, on,
yeah,
I'm watching.
That's good one too.
I'm watching. I don't know why.
But there's a lot of, let's be honest, there's a lot of movies that I didn't think The Rock was going to work out as an actor. He's doing a pretty darn good job.
I would say so. I would say he's doing A-okay with his movies. I thought he was going to be a one-hit little wonder there, going from wrestling to movies. But no, mm-hmm. he's done okay for himself.
He has. So my number two, we're going to put Forrest Gump on this list.
Oh, God. Again, that's another thing to where, like, Forrest Gump could easily find its way in my top five if I sat there and did the analytics and stuff right. like that. But because that is a great fucking movie. It literally has everything you want in a movie. It's got the action, the drama, the comedy.
Well, and again, it's one of those movies that when it got made, the technology wasn't really there to impose.
But yet they pulled it off.
Historical videos.
The shit they pulled off in that movie, though, was insane.
Mm-hmm.
And how that movie is PG-13, I don't know. Because
right.
that movie is pretty fucking R-rated, if you ask me. You even get Tom Hanks' pubes in that movie. And yet it pulled off of PG-13. But yeah, and the way they integrated all those random different historical moments mm-hmm. and how he and was a part of them.
Him into it. Yeah.
It was so fuck good. Fuck Jenny, that goddamn whore.
Right.
There is no support for Jenny. Oh, yeah. No, she can go off the drugs and get AIDS.
Like, she got pregnant from him. I mean, it's like.
Mm-hmm. She didn't come back until he was a billionaire.
Yeah, right.
And she was full of AIDS.
And she was like fighting cancer and shit.
Yeah. And then gets knocked out. All right, I'm gonna die while you take care of her AIDS, baby. That's fine.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Jenny. Stupid whore.
So what I went ahead and put for the headliner of my list mm-hmm. is the very first movie that I ever saw in theaters.
Okay.
The Jurassic Park.
Ah. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Shooter!
Dino DNA.
Oh, man. So many quotes from that movie.
That is a fantastic fucking movie. I remember watching that at the Augusta Movie Theater in Augusta, Kansas.
Mm-hmm. Now, I will put a caveat on my list. It would probably change if I sat down for a week and thought about actual movies instead of the franchises that I was going to do.
Yeah, I was even thinking that earlier today. I'm like, okay, I know Colonel Lowe's franchises. So I'm like, the franchise conversation could come on to another episode down the road. Because I have a lot of franchises, too, that I love. And I think some of my favorite franchises might surprise you a little
bit. Well, and see, as I think about it, there's like two other movies that I would throw in the hat for being in the top, probably the top 10. I don't know about top 5. But Gone in 60 Seconds and the very first Fast and Furious. Mm-hmm. Not the 20 Fast and Furiouses they made after the first one. The first one was good.
Speaking of franchises, spoiler alert, Fast and Furious franchise is in my top 5 franchises of all time.
Oh, man. You've watched all 30 of the movies?
Oh, yeah. I watch them every year. Every fucking year.
I will say that I enjoyed them up through about 6 or 7. Like when the 7th one came out, I got a nice little box set with them that the DVD case, or maybe... I don't remember if it was DVD or Blu-ray. I think I got the Blu-ray. But the Blu-ray case was a tire.
I mean this?
You've got it right there, don't you?
Yep. Yep. It's got This one has the first 7 of them in it.
Yes.
And we're up to 10 now. Or technically 11 if you count the spinoff.
Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah. That one's probably my least favorite one of the whole
thing. I never saw it. Like,
I was very disappointed in that because I'm like, Rock and Statham, let's go.
I think I saw 8. Which one was the one with that they introduced the Rock and Statham?
The Rock was Fast 5.
Okay.
Which is one of the greatest action movies of all time, Fast 5.
So I want to say that.
Which, yeah, that was The Rock, too. Yeah, that was The Rock. Statham came in at 6.
Either 7 or 8 was the last one that I watched. I haven't watched any of them since.
Because part 5, they. No, The Rock. So part 6, they kill Jason Statham's brother before we even know Jason Statham's going to be part of the franchise. So 7 is when Jason Statham comes in.
Okay.
Or they don't kill his brother, but they, you know, fuck him up.
Right. They fuck him up good.
5, 6, and 7 are fantastic in their franchise. 8 is great. 9 was trash. But I still love it because they go in outer space in that one, so I like it. Anytime you go in outer space in any movie, let's go.
Wait, they went into outer space in 9?
Yeah. Yeah, they did. Oh, my. In a car.
Of course they did.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Ludacris and Tyrese. In
a car. You were talking about the actor Ludacris, not that it was Ludacris that they went into the.
No, yeah, no. The actor Ludacris and Tyrese, and they're in an actual car, and the gas and brakes actually, you know, work, and they have to destroy a satellite in space.
Oh, my.
It's so good. The movie is so bad, but that part is so good.
Wow.
But again, that's a franchise. We'll talk that later on down the road. But yeah, that's a nice little 5 movies that maybe not our top 5 movies of all time, but they're movies that mean something to you.
Right. I mean, they would definitely be in the, even if I sat down and thought about it for a week, I think those 5 movies would be 100% in my top 20.
Right. Maybe even top 10.
Right. I know some of them, a few of them would be in the top 10, at least.
Mm-hmm. Let's transition into TV.
Ooh, TV.
Now, this one you'll know more about than I do, because when it comes to TV with me, I've been strictly sitcoms most of my life. Like, I don't do a lot of, like, the hour-long, like, dramas or anything like that, or any of those kind of hour-long episodic shows like Game of Thrones and all that shit.
Yeah. Oh, Game of Thrones. Spoiler alert, Game of Thrones is on my list.
Like, when it comes to those, like, it's I can count on one hand that the show Reaper, that only lasted 2 fucking seasons, is in there. And that's one of the reasons why I don't get invested in these shows, because then there's always the possibility of cancellation before you even get a conclusion.
Right.
So I invest all that time into the show, and then I don't get a fucking conclusion to it because there wasn't enough viewers, or the studio said fuck off. Like, look at Firefly, that had all the ratings in the world, but for some reason Fox said nope, we're done.
Yeah, and then they gave us a movie.
And then they gave us a movie that still really didn't conclude anything.
Right.
And the only like big show like that actually watched from beginning to end that actually had a conclusion was Sopranos. But okay, the very last episode of Sopranos, I did many, many, many years of the Sopranos, and we're finally getting this conclusion, and it did that bullshit ending to where they didn't give us an ending. It went black. Like, when something's about to happen, oh, is Tony about to die? Is he going? Nope, we're going black. And then the creators are like, you have to create the ending yourself. I'm like, no, fucking asshole. You're supposed to give me the ending.
God. Right. Sopranos is one that I haven't seen. It is on my list to watch, but I have heard about the fade to black.
Yeah, and so ever since then, I've been very weary about, like, investing my time into these big, you know, dramatic, like, climactic shows.
Well, what I will tell you is every single one of the shows on my list, if you haven't seen it, you will enjoy binging it.
You say so. Do you want to start off the TV list,
or do you? it's up to you. I mean, we've spent the last little bit talking about my movies, but I mean, you started movies. I mean, I can start TV, or we can switch back over to you since you haven't talked about your stuff for a little bit.
You start TV because I can already tell you my top five are all sitcoms.
Okay. Well, so I did have to throw an honorable mention in here because I don't know that it would make my top five, but it's very close.
Okay.
And that's Project Blue Book.
I have never fucking heard of that.
So Project Blue Book is I think it was on History Channel, but it was a dramatized show about, I forget the guy's name. He was a scientist that the government paid where they basically go to UFO sightings and try to either debunk it or anything like they try to disprove that it's
like one of those weird reality shows. This is an actual show, right? Like it's a scripted show, right?
Yeah. So it's okay. It's based on true events.
Okay.
But it's dramatized. Okay. So I think it's J. Allen Hynek was the scientist. It's a good show.
Okay. Yeah, I should have let in no reality shows or none of that ghost
reality like shows that. Are not TV. I know it's on a screen, but the last writer's strike gave us reality shows, and I was hoping that would be enough to prevent another strike from ever happening.
Maybe forever, desperate for an episode, we'll talk reality shows, but I can tell you people, we're not going to talk reality TV.
We might make fun of them.
Yeah, I mean, we might bring them up as, you know, a little talk here or there, but we'll never have an actual episode that's based on fucking reality program, because it's not.
We don't live in reality. Come on now.
No. What is real? You know? We got fucking Jack Osborne hunting down aliens and shit
as a reality show. But that's funny though. Like, I mean, Osborne Want to Believe is a pretty funny show. Like he collects clips and shows them to his parents. And
of course, you knew exactly what show I was talking about. I don't even know what show. I just heard that Jack Osborne was doing some shit like that.
Well, so he actually does have a TV show that is them actual ghost hunting, but he's also got a show that. He is just collecting clips and showing them to his parents in his parents' basement, and his parents say whether they think they believe it or not.
There's a show with Jack Osborne showing Sharon and Ozzy clips.
Yes.
This is a show?
Yes, it's called Osborne's Want to Believe.
Why do I not know about this? I want to watch it.
It is entertaining. It is entertaining.
I can only imagine Ozzy go, what the fuck is going on?
Well, and it's funny because they like on the show, anytime Ozzy talks, they put subtitles. And every now and then he'll start talking and they'll just be question marks.
They can't even figure out what the fuck he's saying. They're just going to get inaudible as they put in subtitles sometimes.
Yes, it's a fun watch. I will say that.
That's good. Anyways, continue on so, to your show.
The number five on my list would be a TV show called The Americans.
God damn, another one. See, I've avoided.
So The Americans is about. It's based back in the Cold War time frame, and it's these Russian sleeper agents that live in America, and they're carrying out Russian sleeper tasks while they're posing as a regular American family.
What channel or streaming service is this?
So I think it aired on FX. Okay. I have the whole season on Vudu and on physical media.
It was just one season, or is it over?
It's either five or six. Like, yeah, it is done. It had Kerry Russell.
Hey, Kerry Russell. Many memories.
I fell in love with Kerry Russell in that TV show.
I've always loved Kerry Russell. She's always ones that I always forget about until I see her. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember you, baby. How you doing?
She's Zori Bliss in the new Star Wars.
She's many things in many movies and TV shows growing up.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
She's a tasty treat.
So my number four TV show, which I wanted to put it higher, but I couldn't. It was Friends.
Oh, man. Only four for you.
I know. It's... anytime we want, like, if my wife has questions about anything happening during Friends, she'll be like, why did they say that? I'll be like, oh, because three episodes ago.
I can do the same shit. I can do the same shit with Friends.
Like, I've seen it so many times that I see the cold open of the episode, and I'm already laughing because of something that happens three quarters of the way through the episode.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that joke was funny. Wait until you get to episode 3 of season 4 when they continue on that joke. We were on a
break.
Yeah, the constant we were on a break shit. Which they were on a break, damn it.
They were. Absolutely. Yeah.
They even said that in the Friends reunion on HBO Max. They asked everybody, were they on a break? And everybody said yes, except for the guy that played Joey.
Matt LeBlanc.
Yeah, Matt LeBlanc. But he just wanted to be different because he's
and I mean, speaking of Friends characters, RIP.
RIP Chandler.
Matthew Perry.
Yeah, we found that out at our Halloween party.
I know.
That was a damper at our Halloween party.
It was very disappointing.
Fucking Bob. We have a friend named Bob. That should tell you enough of who this guy is. His name is Bob. He would walk around the party. This guy doesn't even dress up for Halloween, and he started walking around a Halloween party going, Chandler died. Like, you son of a bitch.
You think this is going to be
happy news? Yeah. That was awful. And then the awful hot tub jokes that came following that. this is great. So next show.
My number 3 is one that I don't know how popular it really got overall. And it was years after the series concluded that I even started to watch this. And it's Battlestar Galactica, the new Battlestar Galactica.
Right, yeah. Well, anytime I hear anybody say they like Battlestar Galactica, I know it's the modern version.
Right. I've tried to watch the original, and I have not been able to get through it.
I've tried to, because I did get into Battlestar Galactica, the modern one. So I'm like, all right, I want to check out the inspiration behind it. And right. I'll go through a few episodes. I'm like, oh, my God. Okay, I can see what this is. This was right for them to remake it because good idea, poorly executed back in the day.
Right. I mean, like Battlestar Galactica, I've probably watched from start to finish 6 or 7 times.
Oh, wow. See, I've only gone through it once, like all the way through. I love me some Cylons, though, man. They're fucking cool as shit.
You just like number 7.
Yeah, I do.
Well, one of the funny things was whenever they made Boomer a Cylon, that made so many people mad because like Boomer was one of the loved characters from the original series.
Right. Yeah.
Of course,
yeah.
In the original series, Boomer was a man, but.
Jesus. All right. So better.
So number 2. We are in number 2 now, and that is the aforementioned Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. Even with, from what I hear, it wasn't a great.
I'm sorry. Let me caveat that Game of Thrones season 1 through 7.
There you go. Okay. Again, I heard that was a kind of a sci-fi version of Sopranos where the ending just was a big old fucking disappointment. Well,
the problem was is they waited like 2 years to release the final season.
I
was going to say,
I constantly saw the hype for the final season.
They spent 7 seasons building up to this battle with the White Walkers because the White Walkers are like, winter's coming. They killed off the White Walkers in one episode.
All that build.
it was frustrating.
A shit ending.
And then arguably the series favorite character they kill off in the last episode. Like they make go crazy in the last season and kill him off. Have you seen? You haven't seen Game of Thrones, right?
I watched the first two seasons, and I just
I will not mention the name just because I don't want to give it away. But
you eventually want me to fucking watch it, even though.
Well, so ironically, me having had to wait for 2 years to get the final season, absolutely hated the final season. One of my buddies who didn't start watching until the entire series was done, not having to wait for the 2 years between the seventh and eighth season, said that he still liked it. He liked the eighth season. So maybe it was just that there was so much of a wait between that the expectations were too high for what was delivered.
So maybe if, you know, a newcomer like myself that just sat and watched through it, maybe there'd be a different experience.
You might enjoy the eighth season. Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Well, before, surprise, surprise, before we get to your number one, we're going to a commercial break. All right. So your number one
to you by Nintendo.
Nintendo and Blue Chews and and all sorts of boner pills.
So
yeah, your number one show.
I'm gonna guess that you probably already know what's coming with my number one show, but I will let everybody else in on the joke. My number one show is The Office, American version.
Yeah, I don't know why I was brain farting that. I knew that. The Office. So, I mean, I always knew that you loved The Office, but I didn't know that was your like number one show.
It's one of those that for the longest time, like, it would not have been number one for a while, but I can go back and watch it and still laugh.
Yeah, kind of too. The Office is one of those shows where it took me forever to even like giving it a try. But The Office, though. Okay, so, I mean, why do you love it? Is it Michael Scott? Is it just the whole cast?
So, what it always was for me is I've worked in an office for almost 20 years now.
So, very, very relatable type show.
It's one of those things that you don't really think about, like, when you're working in the office, you'll get annoyed by something and be like, all right, whatever. And then you just move on. Well, that little thing that you got annoyed by, they'll turn it into an entire episode and make it funny.
So what annoyed you in real life, they turn it into something like, oh, I wish that would have really happened in my fucking real life.
And the cold opens are great.
Cold opens are great.
Probably my favorite cold open was, it's hard to narrow. That's a good top five list. My top five cold opens from The Office.
I can participate in that. Yeah,
we can do that. We could do that as a list on another day.
See, now, yeah, as we're doing this pilot episode, we're coming up with episodes as we go along. Look out, people! We're gonna be around for a little while. So we talk a lot of pop culture.
There are some good ones. I will say that. The Gaydar is probably on the list.
Gaydar. Yeah. And that leads into like what I was going to say, like that show cannot be done now these days.
There's only probably, there's probably more, but two shows/movies that can never be redone. The Office is one, and obviously Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles. I can throw an honorable mention and say Tropic Thunder can never be done again. And
that's Robert Downey Jr. Never be allowed to have a white dude play as a black dude.
No, it's an Australian dude playing a white dude playing a black dude. But no, like with The Office, though, like, yeah, you know, he's got his retard joke, like, you know, I never call somebody retard unless my friends are being retarded. <I'm> like, <"Man." laughs>
I don't remember the exact wording of it, but yes.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact wording either, but I remember his little spiel on that. was like, ah, oh, that's so true, though. I miss the days of being able to call my friends a retard and people not gasping.
I miss the days of being able to be just a normal person and not have to worry about if what I'm doing is going to piss off somebody three rows down the aisle.
Right? That's why I'm always socially awkward, because I don't know if the joke I'm going to say is going to offend somebody. Because unlike you, Captain Dad jokes, those are fine. Right. The jokes that I want to spout out of my mouth can tend to offend some people. It has offended people.
One of the funniest statements I'd heard was, my rights don't stop where your feelings begin.
Right. Like, stand-up comedy is dying because
people just can't take it anymore.
And there's another episode, stand-up comedies. There you go. You better watch you some stand-up comedies for future.
Oh, I already know my number one.
Is it Rodney Carrington? Spoiler alert.
It is.
I know my boy. So those, okay, so those are your five shows. That was good.
Those are my five.
All right, so my five shows, they're literally all sitcoms. They're not like my movies to where these are actually like they go in order, but this is how I wrote them down as I was thinking of them just off the top of my head, and they're literally all sitcoms. So number five, I have Roseanne.
Okay, all right.
Loved Roseanne. Like growing up, I mean, I think that's more of a nostalgic thing because, I mean, that was a show that I watched with my mom and my dad, and it was just a good show, and Becky on that show was a stupid little cunt, and I wanted to fucking kill her.
So Roseanne is one of the shows that our family did not watch, so it's not one that I ever really...
Right. What I love about Roseanne, though, is, like, you know, for its time period, that's what your normal American family was like.
Yeah.
And that's why it spoke to people, and it was fucking hilarious. And I still revisit that show all the time. Number four, we've already talked about Friends.
Okay. We both had it at four.
Love me some Friends. I always have a hard time picking my favorite character. I'd say Chandler or Joey was the funniest. I can never decide.
Chandler's supposed to be the funny one.
Season four Chandler is fucking gold. I fucking love season four Chandler. When he's locked in Rachel's boss's office.
Yes. Yes.
He's handcuffed. Oh my god, that's one of my favorite episodes of the whole fucking series. And the whole thing where he's handcuffed to the filing cabinet and he opens it.
And hits
that one's supposed to happen.
Oh, it wasn't. Okay.
No. That was something that just happened, and he reacted, and the door hit him in the head, and he did his little fucking Chandler reaction to it.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, that was gold.
You know that there was many episodes that he doesn't even remember filming.
Right,
because of his drug addiction.
If he do, like, there's an interview where he says, like, if it's the skinny guy or even the goatee Chandler, he's on alcohol. The fatter one, he's on pills. And like, he can tell you, like, each, because, like, Chandler is the one that his physical transformation was so different from everybody else because of all the different activities that he did throughout the years.
Right. And I think he wrote a book on it, on himself.
Yeah, and that's where I got it from. I didn't read the book, but I read the snippets, and that's where he's talking about, like, okay, you know, when I'm on pills, when I look like this, or I'm talking like this, stuff like that. Whatever drugs or alcohol he was on for season four, good job, buddy.
Well, season four, when he got skinny, like right after he proposed to, or right after
season four, it was before Monica.
Okay,
like early season four.
Because there was the season that, I think it was the proposal, where he's wearing the pink shirt. In the season finale, he's kind of big. And then he's super skinny when it comes into the next episode, or the first episode of the next season. And it's like, man, you lost some weight this off season.
Right. And it wasn't naturally.
Well, I'm sure not.
Let's see. So then, yeah. So go Friends. We can do a whole fucking episode on Friends, obviously.
But, absolutely. I think we should.
Yeah, we will. We have endless supplies, people, to this fucking show. So number three would be Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
That's a great choice.
I love me some Fresh Prince, man. I mean, obviously it launched Will Smith into the stratosphere of stardom. But Carlton fucking made that show.
Carlton. I still want to be able to learn how to do that dance, and I don't know if I'll ever be able to.
Every once in a while, I can. And I don't know how, but like all of a sudden I'll start doing it. I'm like, oh, there it is. I got it. And then I'll have the white side of me come out of me. Yeah, I didn't mean to do white side on a play of your last name there, but the white side of me will all of a sudden make me stop doing the dance. But yeah, and I mean, just that all the characters in that show was just perfect casting because you had so many different stories that you could do with everybody. And
you talking about the Fresh Prince makes me wish that I'd have thought of the Cosby Show.
Oh, Cosby Show. pudding pops and drug laced drinks.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah, Bill Cosby. Oh. I can't do a Bill Cosby impersonation, but you know. I didn't watch enough Bill Cosby to put him on my list. Well, I would have. I don't.
The Cosby Show, Growing Pains, and The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air were the TV shows that were on like after school if I wasn't watching like Power Rangers.
Yeah, yeah. Go, go, Power Rangers.
Right?
How that didn't make my list? I didn't even think about it.
See, we're talking about these shows. And, like, Power Rangers probably would have made my list. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles probably would have. See?
Right. Oh, we can do a cartoons episode. Say, we're stacking them up. We're stacking them up. All right. So, yeah, number three, Fresh Prince. Long live Carlton. number two would be The Big Bang Theory.
That one almost made my list too. It's a fun watch.
That's one that I've gotten to the point to reckon almost recite many episodes just because it's on HBO Max, and I like to go to bed playing a TV show because the HBO Max is the only streaming service that continuously plays. Correct. And I wake up and it's still on.
So did you know that they had like. They consulted actual scientific theory for the stuff they put in that show.
Yeah, the shit that they have in that show, that's all real. Like all the science shit that they're doing, that's all real. And they have a consultant on there that would. Because I've watched all the behind the scenes because I have all the DVD sets.
What I've wanted to do though is they've got that little white screen at the end with a bunch of text on it. Mm-hmm. I want to go read every one of those, but.
Yeah, because they always have something in there.
You get about four words into it, and it goes away.
Right, it's true. I bet you can. I bet there's like a website or something that has all those.
I'd be willing to bet there is.
That's something we'll have to look into, and we can even pull up on the screen here. But before I get off of Big Bang Theory, though, I do want to ask you the question, the classic question of Murray Fuck Kill on the three Big Bang girls. So you got Bernadette, Penny, and Amy Farrah Fowler.
I would marry Bernadette.
Okay. Do you know why?
Why? Mm-hmm. Because she's super smart and she's hot.
Okay.
I would sleep with Penny, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I would... Sorry, Amy. I'd kill Amy.
Okay. See, my answers are pretty fucking different. I would marry Amy because, I mean, look how much she bends over backwards just to please.
That is true. Sheldon. That is true.
And like somebody that's gonna do that much just for me, and all she wants is some sexual activity. Okay. Yeah. She's willing to do anything and everything to make me happy as long as I just do very little things to make her happy. So I'd marry her.
Okay.
I'd fuck Bernadette because She's petite. She's fun size. And that squeaky voice, it'd be fun to hear the sounds that come out of her mouth.
So have you seen her on Night Court?
Yeah, it's not the same because she don't have that fucking voice.
but I also think I want to say that I don't quote me on this, but I want to say that I heard that she hates the Bernadette voice.
Yeah, that Bernadette voice was inspired by her actual mother. Her actual mother has a high-pitched voice like that. And so she, because if you notice when we first meet Bernadette in the show, she doesn't have that high pitch when she goes on an awkward date.
I haven't seen it enough to know that.
She goes on the awkward date with Howard and she's just very just stupid and weird on that first date. And they bring her back in and then she's got the high pitched voice because she pitched that to the show creators and they're like, that's great. And so she was stuck with that voice.
Well, kudos to her for being able to act that voice for that long.
I know. She disappointed so many nerds out there. They're like, oh, you really don't talk like that? Including me, because like I'm saying, I'm talking about the character Bernadette, not the actress. So, yeah, the character Bernadette with her cute little sundresses and the high-pitched voice. Yeah, that's the one I would, that's the one I'd fuck. And then I'd kill Penny. Yeah, she's hot and everything, but she's, you know, that stereotypical Barbie hot. And then, like,
but see, she's got that Nebraska, like that.
She's almost too manly Midwest. For me, you know.
She's got that Midwest feel that I like.
Right. Well, seeing it, you know, being from the Midwest, I don't want that Midwest manly fucking. Let me throw you around. Don't throw me around. I'm not that big of a bitch, you know. I think all three of them
probably relate more to the guys on their manliness, I guess.
I don't know. I've always loved the my date history. They've mostly have been tiny.
You are some correct. Of them
have been taller than me. But
I mean, the two people tiny. I've seen you date were pretty small.
I know. Isn't that sad that out of the 10, 15 years, you've only seen me date like two people?
I've in the 10 to 15 years that I've known you, that I've known you to be on two multi-year streaks.
Right. Damn. Fucking streak. Spoiler alert, I haven't had sex in over 5 years. There you go. Well, audience. I was gonna
say we can have an episode on the streak and how
that's nothing to do with a screen, but unless I record it. Then we can discuss it.
Well, I mean, I have heard that if you go to a prostitute, it's not prostitution if you record it.
There you go. And then we can discuss it. Back to TV shows. Okay, so yeah, that was our Marry, Fuck, Kill on Big Bang Theory. All right, so
now that we've gone down that rabbit hole, let's do your number one.
My number one is the TV show called New Girl.
New Girl is good.
Love that show. That's not new. You haven't watched it yet. Have you watched
it? Well, so New Girl is one of those TV shows that I think there was three or four seasons out on Netflix, and I watched all of the episodes that Netflix had at the time.
Okay.
I haven't revisited it to finish out the series.
But you know the characters and stuff like that on it.
Yeah.
See, I've always thought that Nick Miller, played by Jake Johnson, I always thought like he's my spirit animal. Like that guy is exactly like me. Turns out I was wrong because I have some other friends that watch New Girl, and both of them on separate times without even knowing this told me that I'm more like Winston, which is the black guy. So I'm a white Winston, apparently. It's flattering. I'd really like but I'm definitely not a Schmidt. The fucking uptight, cleaning, angry, fucking raging. Even though he's fucking hilarious. But no, I love that show. Like that show is kind of like a Bible for me when it comes to just socializing and relationships and stuff like that. Like if I want advice, I visit a therapist every Tuesday.
Yeah.
But nothing wrong with that. Sometimes she doesn't help me as much as the show New Girl does. Like sometimes I go to New Girl, I'm like, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do, or what I'm not supposed to do. And there's just so much humor in there that just fucking kills me and cracks me up. The performances across the board are just so good. Seasons 3 and 4, like most sitcoms, seasons 3 and 4 are always the best. That goes with New Girl too.
That's where they've gotten into their swing of things.
Yeah.
And then a lot of times they've, by the end of season 3 or 4, they've played out the storylines that they've been setting up for a while. And then a lot of times, like 5 and 6 are the ones that are the
and they grab
because they're trying to figure out what they're gonna do next.
Right, and that was the instance with New Girl. It lasted 7 seasons. 3 and 4 were the best, and then they just didn't know what to do next. Like not every show can be like Big Bang Theory, which went 12 seasons and easily could have went on even more. It's just they were like, "Well, we're done. We've done 12 seasons. We don't want to stop."
Well, and like with The Office, when Michael Scott left, it was it took them a season and a half to figure out how to do the show without Michael Scott.
Right, that was great. Yeah, because like I do enjoy the seasons after Michael Scott. I mean, it did take a weird little build up to make it funny again. But then you still got people like Jim Halpert and Creed and Dwight and all the.
Hey, well, there we've got another episode. Top 5 characters of The Office.
Right,
we could do a top 5 and bottom and worst 5.
Right, or just top 5 characters in sitcom history. Top 20. We had to do like a top 20 when we did characters on sitcoms. But yeah, those are my top shows.
It's a good list.
Yeah, obviously exclusively as sitcoms, because like I said, I'll do the. But then you brought up, you know, the good old like shows that we watched as kids, like Power Rangers, stuff like that. I was like, damn. So I recently revisited Power Rangers. Not recent. It's more like a year or two ago. I revisited the original Power Rangers. Like, this show is still good.
Well, and I'm not gonna lie. The Power Rangers movie they made, I love that they brought it back to the original TV show.
That latest Power Rangers movie that they did,
or whatever they're doing.
Right. You saw the newest Power Rangers movie one, right?
The one with
Elizabeth Banks, like 20s. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Fucking great.
I love that movie. I was worried that I was going to hate it because I thought it was going to be all that new shit that they want to do.
Right.
But no, it was the...
They crushed it. Yeah. They absolutely crushed it.
I want to see them do a sequel and bring the Green Ranger.
And they're not going to because apparently... did you see the mid-credit scene to where they're... Yes. Announcing for Tommy Oliver and stuff like that, teasing for a new one, they're not gonna do it because it didn't make enough fucking money.
That's disappointing.
I know, because I thought it was so
well, good. And you saw that they had the Red Ranger and the Pink Ranger at the end of it as a cameo, right?
Yeah, they were in the crowd when they're now it was at towards the final scene. You had Amy Jo Johnson, Pink Ranger, and
Jason it was the David White Frank. Ranger, wasn't it?
Yeah, Jason David Frank, RIP. But yeah, I mean, I thought that movie was great. I watched that 3 times in the movie theater.
Oh wow! I waited until it came out somewhere I could watch it on a streaming service I already paid for.
I watched it twice by myself because I really enjoyed it, and then I watched it a 3rd time with my son. And I thought it was so fucking good. Like I thought they took our nostalgic childhood for our generation and they made an updated version of it that was so fucking
good. It was phenomenal.
And just unfortunately, it wasn't successful enough. And so we're not going to get a sequel to that goddamn shit.
That is very disappointing.
And on that note, I have been Andrew Fay. This is Colonel
Whiteside.
We have been Sons of Screens, and we will see you all next time. We don't have a sign out yet, so
see you,
son. Good night. SOS.